Janae and Gola Jr., the podcast.
What do you get when you combine a global pandemic with the world's ugliest Christmas tree? You get whatever the hell is happening on our Wednesday afternoon football TVs right now. It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Janae Agwumike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the show, Penzo Performance Line. And we have got a very unique day around here, Janae, because in addition to looking ahead at some of the stuff that's coming up in NBA training camps that are getting going, making sense or trying to make sense of whatever the hell is going on in college football and what we should really be here for if we are here for the right reasons. We've got a football game going on finally between the Ravens and the Steelers, Janae. And what if I told you that this Wednesday afternoon fiasco has started off right now? A 6-0 Pittsburgh Steelers game right now, not because they've made 2 field goals, no, but because the Pittsburgh Steelers had a pick 6, missed the extra point after a game that has included an interception already thrown by a quarterback for each team, and rest assured, it's not anyone you're used to on the Ravens sideline. We've got Robert Griffin III playing quarterback today, and a fumble lost by the Ravens as well. Is that something you might be interested in today?
We knew today was likely going to be sloppy, super sloppy, just because I can't even think about being in this perpetual state of preparing for a game. Usually, like, remember how it is in locker rooms? You've got game day, you look forward to it. You know, like, your energy is just different when you wake up. Imagine feeling like that could be your tomorrow for a week straight. And that's exactly what the Steelers and the Ravens have had to deal with. And I'm not surprised that, yeah, the game has started off the way it has.
It has been just beautiful trash, I think, at this point. Both offenses making weird, awful mistakes. Defense is capitalizing. And so we're excited to watch this with everyone through the course of the day today, Janae. And I think it's an interesting game because you're right. The preparation has been so bizarre leading up to this. We know it only creates more problems on the back end. And I still go into this looking that this isn't a must-win game by any stretch of the imagination for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But it's still one where, man, where they sit right now and the way Kansas City is, look, they better just go out here and do the right thing against a Ravens team that has been decimated by this virus.
Yeah, and I think if you look at the Steelers' remaining schedule, obviously the Ravens, the Washington football team at both Buffalo, at Cincy, and then at Cleveland. So, like, it's not like things get necessarily easier. And so this is probably the hardest thing, making sure you're mentally prepared for this game and also the stretch to come. Because what do the Steelers have in the back of their mind? Like, we have to have this buffer versus Kansas City. And so this is why today, even though it may look a little crazy, today still matters for both sides.
Why is it looking crazy, you ask? Is it because the Baltimore Ravens are down 3 of their top 4 rushers, including their quarterback Lamar Jackson, down Mark Andrews and Willie Snead, their top 2 of their top 3 receiving targets, down 2 of their starting offensive linemen on one of the more banged up groups already, down 3 of their top pass rushers, 2 of their top 3 run stuffers, their fullback and their long snapper?
Oh, that's it?
That's all. That's all we got going on here today. So, as you listen, for everyone that, you know, is going to go and at some point put their eyes and gaze upon the spectacle that is Wednesday afternoon football, Janae, we know there's been a lot of people disgruntled about the fact that this was even happening this way based on what happened with the Broncos.
We've sorted
through all of that, and the players were upset for a little while. They're going to go out here now, and they're going to do their damn well best in this game. It has no business being a thing. As one of my friends texted me earlier today, I don't know if there's a more 2020 situation I can concoct than saying the sentence, Robert Griffin III is getting ready to start a football game on Wednesday afternoon. I just don't know what else
you
can say.
Due to a tree lighting ceremony.
That's the other part of this. Janae, have you looked at this tree?
So I haven't looked at the tree, and a lot of people are saying, like, really, out of all years, like, this is the tree we're fighting for? Because apparently, is it like a struggle tree? Is it a little lopsided? I just saw a lot of people, you know, slandering a tree out there.
So this is what I'll say. Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Janae Agwumike. I think objectively it is not an attractive tree. That being said, what does 2020 deserve but a tree that is an utter disaster that is big-dogging an NFL football game on a Wednesday in the first week of December? Like, Janae, I don't know. Like, I feel like this is exactly where we're supposed to be at this point in our lot in life.
I'm looking up the tree right now, and I'd have to agree, the tree, I hate it, and this is probably a word that we have to really retire in 2020. Kind of basic. You know what I mean? Like, just a little basic.
It is. It's where, you know, but it's right where we need to be in the course of all of this. And it's led us here to this. a sporting event on during our game, during our window here, Janae. And I think you brought up an interesting point in that, yeah, this is a year where that one seed is probably the most valuable it's ever been in the NFL. We'll wait and see if we get any of the triggers of that 8-team playoff format down the stretch here if more games have to be moved around like this one. We know for the Pittsburgh Steelers already, their game against the Washington football team was moved from Sunday until Monday at 5 p.m. on that outing. So now they're going to try and give them a little more of a buffer here. But all the while, as you look, you mentioned the games remaining on the schedule. They've got tough outings here, and they've got that buffer over Kansas City because for this Pittsburgh team, Ben Roethlisberger, who threw a catastrophically bad interception at the beginning of this game, was limping into a lot of these games, both knees injured, coming off an offseason where his elbow's injured, and you've got an actual human Ferrari in Patrick Mahomes waiting for you in Kansas City. You've got to give this old man some time to get himself ready for what's going to come because the Steelers can win, and the Steelers can beat them, but it is going to take every ounce wringing out all the power out of this team to just hope you catch Kansas City on a bad day.
Yeah, buys this year are like protect them at all costs just because that turnaround, what we're dealing with, and not only like buys will help you allow, older players to sort of figure themselves out. You know, for me, a day off is like a godsend. You know how that is at the professional level, at the collegiate level. And then it's not just for those vet players or the players that need a break. It's also maybe your team needs a break. And there could be a difference between 1 or 2 or 3 days, whether as we're seeing exactly right now with this Ravens-Steeler matchup, that could be the difference between activating someone that was on COVID protocol and not doing so. And so I think that's a really interesting distinction as well.
It's a lot to take in all at once in this situation, so we're going to keep everyone abreast. We cannot do play-by-play because apparently that's against the rules.
But that's your job. Like, you do that too, though. You kind of, like, do that too, right? And, yeah.
I do it. And you know what? In the best of both worlds. And you know what? That brings up an interesting point here. Janae Golic Jr. reminding you to be a part of Janae Golic Jr. Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. ESPN Nation's presented by Dr. Pepper. The college football season's heating up, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you. Treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. Because we've got the NFL going on right now. And as we mentioned, all of what will take place and happen down the stretch of this season is going to determine what happens in a very well-understood postseason model where we have expanded the teams going to be in the playoffs this year to 7. All of that is baked into this. College football last night released their second round of the committee rankings, the College Football Playoff Committee, that we know and love and we support and broadcast the reactions around here on TV and on Twitter and YouTube and everywhere else where you can watch me, Jason Fitz, and Christine Williams. And so I want to ask people at Chinay, at Mike Golic Jr. on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, is based on what we've seen, forget even just through the first two rounds of the rankings, but through the first number of years with the College Football Playoff Committee, what's your biggest issue with college football as it currently sits? Because I've seen a lot of debate and a lot of people chatting online about where we are, the health of the sport type situation with college athletics. And Chinay, I know we're just getting ready to start college basketball season, but I feel like all college sports, especially given what's happened in the last year financially, are going to be in that position where they do a lot of soul searching like this.
Right now, this year especially, I think we're grateful that we're able to have seasons and, you know, athletes that have prepared for moments are able to compete. But at the same time, I think it's at what cost? At what cost are people out there, especially this year? And what effects will this season have on the futures of not only the student athletes and the athletes, but just on the conferences and the schools in general? I think it'll be really interesting because we started off this whole thing, you know, this whole, after the summer, pre-summer, after the summer, that whole period, we started off thinking, oh man, this is tough. We saw schools canceling sports. We saw sports getting postponed. What is the long-term effect of that? And I think that's something that people haven't really thought about.
And it's all of the other ancillary things that have come along with it. Players opting out in the middle and towards the end of the season now, the rampant coaching changes, all the financial windfall that we've seen kind of exposed by this situation. So I am genuinely curious. At Chinay, at Mike Golic Jr., and throw it up to the phone lines. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Do you have a problem with where college football is at as a sport right now? Is there something you would like to change if you got to be that czar we always talk about for college football? We'll try and dive into that next, and based on what we heard from the committee last night, continue to explore the biggest problem they've got remaining down the stretch of the season that didn't get any easier with some news that came out today. That's next. It's Chinay Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We've got an important question that I need to pose. I just posed it briefly to the staff here, and I need to know, what is nerdier? The debate that arose on between this staff during the break on whether LJ Collier's celebration from the Seahawks game on Monday night was the Hadouken from Street Fighter or the Kamehameha from Dragon Ball Z.
Oh my gosh, you have to say it properly.
What, Kamehameha?
Yes.
Just making sure. I appreciate your dedication to that, Chiney. That is why you are a real one. That's why Chiney Angola Jr.
Kamehameha! Oh! That's what I was saying.
Oh, no. Oh, so again, is that nerdier, this entire thing that's happened right here, or me gloating just before we got on air that one of my proudest life achievements was playing the Lord of the Rings theme song as a baritone saxophone in middle school concert band?
Ooh, that's the latter, for sure. The latter. First of all, in middle school, you're playing the sax as white chocolate out there. I know you have the sax on your belly and you're bouncing it and all that.
Oh my God.
I imagine you're doing this and just a single tear streams down your face.
Oh, 100% the whole way. I mean, you're just thinking of the Battle of Helm's Deep the entire time. How can you not? This is the kind of straight talk you come here for. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I am so, so sorry for derailing this show.
That I gave you guys.
You know what?
Young Michael Jr. with the saxophone playing Lord of the Rings while moving his hips and bouncing. Yeah, I'm sorry.
A young, chubby, middle school Mike Golic Jr. with, as Devin has described, a single tear streaming down his face as he tries to do his best impression of the epic sax man. Does that sound about right to you guys? You guys are sick, is what you all are. Completely sick.
But
by
is that
the way,
when you started playing football?
That is, and thankfully the football I played back then was still not as ugly as what we have seen going on so far in this Steelers-Ravens game right now. It's 7-6 Baltimore in this one. This game so far has included a fumble by the Ravens, a red zone interception by the Steelers, a pick six by the Ravens, and a muffed punt by the Pittsburgh Steelers. And we are still in the first quarter of this damn game.
And we did say, hey, in this matchup, obviously the Steelers have more weaponry to win, but no style points are necessary based on how long this has been prolonged.
No, this is like bringing a knife to a fist fight, but then using that knife to stab yourself repeatedly so far if you're Pittsburgh. So,
oh, now I know how your middle school went, like that analogy.
Oh,
there.
Oh my God. Not at all how my middle school
depressed
time went.
Like, that's the first way you think of it? Okay, gotcha.
I mean, this game has inspired that kind of visual, and so we will try and work our way away from that visual. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Sure, they appreciate that one, Chiney. Last night, though, we had the college football playoff rankings released, and I thought it was interesting as we now have this really uncomfortable thing we talked about yesterday. Ohio State 4-0, still sitting at number 4 in the country. Chiney, I can't believe there are some people, Jason Fitz, friend of our show, obviously our neighbor to the north from Spain and Fitz, still feels somewhat miffed that they, the Ohio State Buckeyes at 4-0, are ranked behind a team in Clemson who, yes, has lost one game to Notre Dame, but has played more than double the amount of games of Ohio State. From a resume standpoint, Chiney, do you think it's interesting that in this year, a team like Ohio State can play four games and still be looked at as the fourth best team in the country?
I think that there is a grace that is going on when it comes to college football in the sense that the committee has a very difficult job. And I think I put that quote out there a week ago when we first got the first batch of rankings, how we're dealing with teams that have played 3 and 4 games and teams that have played 9 or so games. And I think at the end of it all, at the bottom of it all, the goal is to have the best 4 teams in the college football playoff. And if, unfortunately, some have played double the other games, I still don't care because at the end of the day, I want to see the best play against the best. And if that means it's an Ohio State with less number of games than another team, I have no problem with it.
See, and Chiney, I look at this and I almost feel the opposite. Now, it's one of those things that's kind of like the Supreme Court definition of pornography. I don't know what it is, but I know it when I see it. Type of thing is, in this instance, people are looking for a number of games to feel comfortable with Ohio State. And as we receive word right now, because remember, to be eligible to play in their own conference's championship game, they've got to play 6 games. Right now, the Michigan Wolverines have had their game against Maryland this weekend canceled because of an outbreak of COVID cases still dealing within the Michigan program. That is one of the last 2 teams left on Ohio State's schedule. Ohio State, who also had their own head coach, among others, test positive for COVID-19. And so there is a very real risk of them maybe only playing 5 games this year, maybe 6 at the most. And Janae, I think as we look down the stretch here, if you're talking about a 4 or potentially 5-game Ohio State team with their marquee win being over Indiana at this point, I struggle to see that as enough down the stretch unless some things really go their way. Let's put it this way. I don't think they control their own destiny, and I think that's the fairest way to say this.
Well, I think that's fair, though, because if that is their resume should speak for itself in that instance. But, you know, overall, I think we sort of like started fleshing this out yesterday, I believe. But, you know, dealing with the conference championship games, if there is a position where you have teams that are foregoing, do you think that should be held against anyone, that whole period of the conference championship?
If you have teams that are not going to be able to eligible to play in the conference championship weekend, I think it has to be considered. It has to be another game. Now, we know with the Big Ten, they talked about doing this conference round robin on that weekend, but we'll see how that even goes. Again, all of this sounded great when we laid it out at the beginning of the year, but where we sit now, it's made it extremely difficult. And so now what we're going to have to contend with is a college football season where a team like Texas A&M, who normally with a blowout loss in their resume, wouldn't be up there, where a team like BYU still can't get any respect for some reason, checking in at 13th in the poll, second week still outside of the top 10, and now a very real possibility where we could get 2 ACC teams and 2 SEC teams in this because of how low the Big 12 and the Pac-12 are rated in this whole process. So
my heart. Talk about knives in the heart. That's right there. Keep going.
It's a very difficult thing to try and digest. And so coming up next, we're going to enlist some help to do this, not only to try and figure out if the College Football Playoff Committee needed to spell out some more specific rules, but also what the general health of the sport is looking like after what we've gone through in this pandemic season. We're going to do all that coming up next here on Chanae and Golic Jr., and we're going to do that after this word from ButcherBox. Going to the grocery store is on everyone's to-do list. I thought about even doing it today. Problem is, no one actually likes doing it, myself included, and especially not during the holidays. There's crowded stores, long lines. We've all been there and done that. Stinks. That's why I'm happy to tell you to sign up for ButcherBox. ButcherBox ships high-quality meat conveniently right to your door. And they partner with folks who believe in going above and beyond when it comes to things like caring for animals, the environment, and sustainability. From free-range organic chicken to heritage-breed pork, 100% grass-fed and grass-finished beef, to fresh-caught seafood like salmons and scallops, ButcherBox has over 20 different cuts of meat you can choose from. And their boxes are going to ship fresh right to your door. Plus, their website's loaded with awesome recipes that you and the whole family are going to love, or the very single you that is at home, unsure how to cook most things, and needs the help of people like ButcherBox, who are thankfully going to cater to the single 31-year-old men out here. Sign up today at ButcherBox.com/CJR, and for a limited time, new members are going to get free bacon for the life of their membership. You heard that. You're going to get one pack of free bacon in every box that you order for the life of your membership when you sign up at ButcherBox.com/CJR. That's ButcherBox.com/CJR. The College Football Playoff Committee need to think about straightening some things out. We'll get to that next. Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It's Chanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chanae Agwimike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And when there is chaos and it needs help getting sorted out, there is only one person to call, and that is Spencer Hall, SEC Network Analyst. We can officially call him a coworker here. You can catch him on Thinking Out Loud Mondays on the SEC Net. He joins us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line with the Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. And Spencer, I know, is a college football analyst and fan who enjoys when weird college football things happen in the NFL. It kind of has to warm your heart that right now we are hearing Trace McSorley is warming up on the sideline for the Baltimore Ravens, doesn't it?
So let's do it. That's a Penn State legend, man. That's a dude. And when I say dude, like I mean like as in remember a dude, because he hasn't got much shine in the NFL, but he's about to. 2020 is amazing.
2020 really has provided us some unique opportunities, Spencer, including this. We have a college football playoff rankings last night. Ohio State's played 4 games, and they are still sitting pretty at number 4 in the country, even though it looks like they may be in jeopardy of missing their own conference's championship game. I'm curious, and Spencer, you've talked a lot about how with the scheduling this year, we've dispelled a lot of myths about college football. Are there any rules at this point? Like, is there anything to prevent the Big Ten leadership from trying to find a way to game Ohio State into this championship game?
I think we're a long way off counting the Big Ten and their leadership out of making up whatever they would like to make up. And that's what they're going to do. Because right now they have a team who's going to be in the playoff. Like, if we just froze it today at 4, they'd be in. And if we need to change a rule, if we need to flip things around, we will do that, because there are a couple of great traditions in this sport. And one of them is, when we don't like the rules, we just make up new ones. And then don't worry about it the next time we need to make new rules after those.
Here with Spencer Hall, SEC Network analyst on Chenea and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Now, 2020 has been amazing in some weird ways, where we have a lot of people being able to step up, like Kendall Hinton, you know, what we saw with the Broncos. That's like those stories that we can root for and have each other's back. But 2020 has also exposed us a lot of our weaknesses when it comes especially to having sports in the middle of a pandemic. Now, what to you has become super apparent over the course of this college football season about where the state of the game is right now?
That no one's in charge. Absolutely no one's in charge. Like, college football is, to a lot of people, a very important thing. So it's very weird to see everybody sort of making up, like I said, their own rules and doing things independently among the major, even just the major conferences, when it's something that we're told repeatedly that this is important. This is so important to people. It means a lot to people. And yet we have 18 different agencies in charge of things. We have like 17 different authorities. We have five major conferences, and none of them did the exact same thing at the same time when it came to dealing with a very, very big public health issue. So when people say the sport is this and surely the powers that be will do that, stop. They won't. There's absolutely no way of predicting it. And that's not based on like my natural suspicion of people in authority, though I do have that. It's based on history, on behavior. And if this year doesn't prove that, then I don't know what does.
Chenea and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chenea Igumike, Spencer Hall with us on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line. Spencer, where does it go from here? Because we've talked so much about going through the pandemic. There's going to be things that we can pluck out and take going forward that maybe can help through all this hellishness that's gone on in here. Is there anything you've seen from college football that we actually can kind of pluck out from this context and use moving forward?
I think, players being free to go and to opt out more easily, I think we've seen that that isn't the end of the world. It's not. People step up. People end up where they should be. This was happening with quarterbacks already. Like, I think every quarterback should transfer once, even if they're pretty happy, because it just seems to work out pretty well. People end up at spots where they're comfortable. Like, you know, that Joe Burrow doesn't happen if we don't have that. And with increased mobility of labor, if we let players go where they want, we've seen that's not the end of the world. You know what else isn't the end of the world? Open scheduling. We've been told, oh, listen, these schedules have to be made 15, 20, sometimes 25 years out, right? You get really excited when you hear an announcement for, like, Oklahoma State's going to play Washington in 2078, right? That doesn't need to happen anymore, because we've seen games get scheduled on a week's notice this year. Now, what happened? Well, that was obviously just made up. They're not that hard to put together. They really aren't. I'm not saying you keep eight open slots at the end of your schedule and just see what happens. No, but it can be a lot more flexible than that, and frankly should be, because we get big lulls in the college football season, and open scheduling could do a lot to fill in a lot of those.
And Spencer, have you been surprised, given the nature of that open scheduling, that it's been so difficult to try and this year, in obvious situations like with BYU or with Cincinnati in some spots, make some of these matchups happen that would, quite frankly, give a team like BYU, who most people covering the sport look at and think should be thought of a lot more highly than they are, that making some of these matchups has been more difficult for teams like that?
I think that is surprising to me somewhat. But I also don't think it is, because nobody wants to take that chance. Nobody wants to be the one to get beaten by BYU or beaten by Cincinnati. That's one side effect of saying, well, we're just going to play conference only. I think one accidental side effect of that is that teams like Ohio State and teams in the SEC and other teams in the Big Ten, they walled themselves off from the potential embarrassment of having an open schedule and taking one of those games. Now, do I think that's something that they should do? Yeah, absolutely. Provided that we say, you took the chance, you went out, you played them, and you won or you lost. If you lost, it can't be the end of the world. It really can't. Like, that's, if you want to say, okay, we should expand the playoff, cool, I'm with that. I think that's great. I also think you need to consider what good losses and bad losses are seriously. because if you want teams to take risks, if you want those big matchups, if you want interesting matchups, you're going to have to take on the back end, somebody's going to get a loss, and we have to deal with that.
It is very interesting to consider that because you're right. I think that's one of the things we've seen in the playoff era, that when it has been done well, has produced really top-of-the-line results that everyone just generally enjoys, from fans to the committee and everyone else here. Now, Spencer Hall is with us. If you want to check him out, he is one of the hosts of the Shutdown Fullcast, the Internet's only college football podcast. And I know, Spencer, you and I have had our differences surrounding Notre Dame and you just in general opposing them. Is there anything about this season, has anything changed this year that could bring you to say something positive about Notre Dame before we let you go?
I'll go a step further. I think Ian Book is like the most entertaining quarterback this side of Zach Wilson at BYU. Because Ian Book has been playing like he's on fire. Normally that's not real good. When I say on fire, I don't mean in the sense of that he's got the hot hand. I mean that he's literally ablaze and looking for some water to jump into. And that's turned out beautifully. Like, he's become the improv king this year. So I will say that. I really enjoy that. I also think they're the best pass-blocking team in the nation. Their upset of Clemson was magnificent, in part because physical pass blocking, where you sought out rushers and then beat them to the punch. Oh, breathtaking. Look at that. Look at that goal. That is two nice things I said about Notre Dame.
This is, I'm a little overwhelmed. I'm almost emotional right now, Spencer. So we're gonna leave on that high note. We will have you back around here, where I'm sure we'll find a way to undo that, but I'm going to bask in it now. So we appreciate the time and insight, buddy. We'll talk to you
soon.
Thanks,
Spencer.
All right. Thanks, y'all.
That's Spencer Hall again, SEC Network Analyst. Check out Thinking Out Loud Mondays on the SEC Network, and also check out the Shutdown Fullcast wherever you get your podcasts. All right, coming up next, we continue to take stock in the things that go on in the world of college football. We also got to turn our attention ahead, because while they're trying to get to the finish line, there's one group that's getting ready to start again, and we hear from the most important voice inside of the NBA next. It's Chinay Engel Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinay Engolik Jr., the podcast.
I've seen enough Mac football jokes and everything like that. It is definitely Wednesday afternoon football around here. Chinay Engolik Jr. on ESPN Radio, Mike Golik Jr., Chinay Agumake. And speaking of college football, we're asking you 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. What would you change about college football if you could right now? Would you just let Ohio State in the college football playoff, even if they only have 4 wins on the season? Would you rank BYU higher? What's your biggest gripe in college football right now after the second round of the college football playoff committee's rankings? 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. And Chinay, we've talked a lot about that. And again, it's a difficult year for a lot of reasons. College football is learning about the problems outside of a bubble for sports. I'm very curious, as you get ready, and I know, listen, you got friends that play in the NBA, you play in the WNBA, you're a member of the WNBA's executive committee, so you're involved in all of these conversations. How much concern is there around the start of this season coming up, knowing people are going to be operating outside of a bubble now?
For the WNBA players, there's none, because our season is in April, May. For the NBA players, there's a lot of concern, but it's two sides of the spectrum, and I think I highlighted this earlier. You have teams, and we talked about Trae Young's tweet yesterday where he was like, I feel like I'm dressing up as a little kid going to school for the first day because I have not played in 9 months. And then you've got the Lakers conundrum, and I'm sitting right here in my beautiful, by the way, it's like super chilly out here. I think it's about 65,
how dare
70
you.
Degrees out here in Los Angeles. The sun is out. It's literally gorgeous. And if you watch us on ESPN Plus, which you can do right now, halfway through the show, the sun comes through and I have to close my blinds, but I digress. The whole point is the Los Angeles Lakers are one of those teams that made it to the end, right? They won the championship October 11th. And now they're turning around and they're starting training camp. And when you have a player of the caliber of LeBron James that turns 36 at the end of this month, you have to wonder what the season will look like for them.
It is interesting. And Chinay, we know how this operates around here. If LeBron James moves too quickly or says something too loudly, we are required by law to bring it up and to bring it to the light here. And so LeBron James did stand up. He was on the Road Trip and podcast, and he talked about his outlook heading in to the 2021 season.
Can y'all repeat?
We can. I mean, it's that simple. I mean, we absolutely can. Like RJ said with the Nets, first of all, it all starts with health.
Yeah.
You have to have some luck. You have to have health. If we can stay healthy, but we did get younger. We grabbed the 27-year-old point guard. We got the 27-year-old sixth man of the year, Warren Trez. We got younger.
With Mark.
You know, we got Mark, who's a defensive player of the year, and his IQ.
And at the beginning of that, he was asked, can you repeat? And, Chiné, I'm very interested because everyone looks at it and thinks personnel-wise, this team did get better, but we know a part of the way they won last year was by overwhelming people with size. And now Dwight Howard no longer there, JaVale McGee no longer there. So in your mind, is this team different in enough ways that make it better, or are they taking a risk with the way they've gone about this?
Making it absolutely better. If there's anyone that won free agency, the nice, cute little week that it was, and what was it, like 48 hours?
It was basically like the free agent, like 24-hour deals after Thanksgiving. Yeah.
It was pretty much like Black Friday, like that type of stuff. Like, hey, we got this player out of, you know what I mean? Sign him now. Obviously, I think the Lakers immediately, to me, was the team that set themselves best for one of those teams that played to the end, but now retooled in a way that actually can find ways to win this year. Dennis Schroeder, young player, 18 points per game, and he's going to breathe life into them. And also, like, playing for the Lakers, he's been relegated, you know, from OKC to now here, spotlight. Even though, like, it might be different in these arenas with no fans or limited fans, he's definitely a tremendous boost. Everyone's been saying you need to find people that can shoot and score and be confident. He's one of those. Like, you don't have to worry about him. He's going to come in and give you a quick, easy 15. You know how much we talked about Kuz? Like, will he step up? Will, you know, what is he doing? You don't have those problems, and you got that through the addition of Dennis Schroeder. You also have this big picture here that, all right, the Lakers, yes, based on how they retooled, and especially, and I know LeBron James talked to Montrezl Harrell, as they retooled, there's a whole different landscape now that actually might work for someone else's benefit. So through free agency, yes, the Lakers did their job, but you're looking at, even though the Warriors are gone, Steph Curry will be back. And I think in Steph's head, the reason why he's so dominant is he thinks he's the best player in basketball. You're also looking at a Brooklyn team that is coming, and they've made a lot of noise, and they haven't shown anybody what they do on the court. And now you're going to be able to see Kyrie and KD. And I love that first matchup between the Warriors and the Nets, because KD is going to go to his former team, or I think it's actually at the Nets. The Warriors will be visiting KD, and I feel like that's going to be a good way to kick off the season. But if you look at the periphery, don't count out the Warriors. They might make some noise in the West, and then also the Nets. If they play to their potential with no problems, even though they have problematic personalities, yes, the Lakers can repeat, but it won't be easy.
Yeah, you know what, Chiné, that brings up, and we talked about this a lot in the pre-show, with the Nets relative to those two teams specifically, the Lakers and Golden State. And so I want to ask you a question about that roster and if they're capable of the one thing that I think made that Lakers team and made those Golden State teams work as well as anything. But we do have calls, 888-729-3776, about what you would change about college football right now based on what we've seen. Let's go to John in Michigan. John, you're on Chiné and Golic Jr. What would you change?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing they need to do this year is have an 18 playoff. If there was ever a year to have that, this is the year to do it, because everything keeps getting pushed back, postponed, canceled. This would be easy to change this year.
John, we appreciate the call. Chiné, and I don't know if I would agree that it would be easy to change this year, or that it necessarily gives us a better version of this championship. But the more and more we go along, I see a lot of people complaining, Chiné, about teams being interested, teams being motivated down the stretch of the season, and particularly fans. I do think that the extended playoff is looking more and more like the best way to keep fans engaged down the stretch of a season.
Yes, I actually really like that addition. I like that idea, just because, and I know that this is something that, like, I don't know if they're going to be able to do that. I think it was Heather Dinich that was like, I don't know about this. But I do like this idea, because if Ohio State had a limited number of games going up against another team, when you're trying to make these final decisions that has more, I feel like if you put them, slot them at the lowest seed possible amongst eight, people will feel good about that, and they will actually feel like their season is rewarded.
Yeah, and Chiné, I think it's obviously complicated and not going to be something they can change this year, because there's TV money. Like, that's the thing that everyone's got to remember about this, is we talk about players opting out, and we talk about those decisions to play or not down the stretch of the season, that all of this is governed by the money that other people are making around college football, and those college football playoff contracts are a big part of what goes on and
but
why that's happening.
But we do have a game on right now.
We do have a game on
so
right
anything
now.
Anything is possible.
At 888-729-3776, if you want to get a hold of us with what you would change about college football, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. We will check back in with that Wednesday night game. Did Trace McSorley get in? Have the Steelers managed to score in the red zone? We will find all of that out next. It's Chiné and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.